Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can gather today knowing that you're alive, you live, and you have given us the ultimate freedom that comes from knowing you and the freedom of eternal life and living that now. As we turn to your word and to Romans 7, Holy Spirit, use my words and show us what you have for us and teach us more what it means to be your children. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, you can open to Romans 7 or turn in the bulletin back to the epistle reading. I'm going to read it again. And as I said earlier, it is a bit thick, so I won't apologize because it's God's word. I might apologize for my own words, but not God's word. And we're going to see what we can do with it today. And it kind of goes last week, leads into this week, leads into next week, and it's starting to talk about what does it mean to live out faith in Christ? What does it mean to live that out as the gospel changes us? And, you know, last week you're buried and raised with Jesus. Now it gets into what does that mean? And next week even more. So beginning of Romans 7. Or do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as they live. And then he gives the example of a married person. Skip to verse 4. Likewise, brothers and sisters, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work, and our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but a new life of the Spirit. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? By no means. Yet, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceiving me and through it killed me. So the law is holy. The commandment is holy, righteous, and good. We'll stop there. So what we're going to look at is verse 4, which kind of explains most of it. So read verse 4 with me. You also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So it begins, you also have died to the... Yes, good old Charlton Heston, right? Had to use that somehow. And when Paul brings up law, this is what he's talking about. Many of you know the moment. It used to be on every Easter evening, right? For a long time, I don't know if it still is. He's holding what? The Ten Commandments. And where is he? On top of? Yeah, and there's a whole story that got us there, which is very important. So God gives the law, the Ten Commandments, but how do we get there? How do we get to Mount Sinai? What is the story before that? Where were God's people just a few months before? They were in Egypt. So this is where the story really begins of God giving his law. God's people were slaves for hundreds of years, generation after generation, wondering if God cares about them or if God has completely abandoned them. So generation, not just day after day, month, year after year, saying, God, are you there and do you care? It's generation. God, what do you care about my life and what's going on? And God finally says, I have heard the cry of my people and I will come down to save them. And then God brings up Moses as a leader, and then Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh, and then there's this great display of power, these 10 plagues that God unleashes against each of the Egyptian gods to show how much power he has over them. And the final one is the Passover, and they take the lamb and kill it and put the blood on the doorposts, and if they trust God enough to put their trust in God to do what he said and put the lamb over the doorpost, the blood, the angel of death passes over them, and then they get to leave, call it the Exodus. They leave Egypt free. And they leave, and then they come to this big body of water they can't cross, right? That's the Red Sea. So God has already done all these miraculous things to bring them out, and then they get to the Red Sea and they're stuck. Oh no, what's going to happen? And then God once again parts the sea, and the Bible says they walk on dry land. And then God puts the sea back together and defeats the Egyptian army, and they've done all these, and then they get into the desert, and now there's no water and no food. That's what happens in the hot, dusty desert. And they come to this water source, and it's bitter, and they can't drink it. And then Moses, or God says to Moses, throw a log in there, and then it turns sweet, and they can drink it. And so they have water. Good, check. And now they need food. So then what does God do? God brings manna all over the ground, each and every day, trust enough just for today. So God does all of these things, all of them, to show his power, to make him his people, to show how much he's loved and how much he's done to save them. After all of these things, miraculous saving after saving and food and water, they finally then get to Mount Sinai. After all of that, God brings them out to the desert to say, I will make you my people and show you what it means to be my people. And they get to, so Sinai is a region. You can't look at anyone and say that's the one, but that's the area. You're close. They get to the Sinai, and then what do they find? That's a camel eating a cardboard box. So this was on Mount Sinai, so I took the picture when we were there a few years ago. After people were fed, they took all the extra rice, put it in a cardboard box, gave it to the camels. Camel ate all the rice and then decided he was still hungry and just ate the cardboard box. So I was walking by and thought, camel eating a cardboard box. I don't get to take that picture every day, so I took the picture. And they get to Mount Sinai. God gives them the law, the Ten Commandments. And what that means is God finally says, after everything I've done for you, I've saved you and brought you out in all these miraculous ways and fed you and given you water where there was no water, now I'm going to tell you what it looks like to act as my people. Here is an expression of who I am. Here is my will for you as my people, so that you will show all the other peoples in the world what I am like. So God gives them his will, his law. Says, look how much I have loved you. Here's how to live in response to that. So the Ten Commandments, and really any moral law God gives, shows on some level something about God's character and what God cares about. So Ten Commandments, Ten Commandment quiz. Let's see if you can get some of them. First commandment, which is the most important, and if there were no others, that's good enough. We have one. It is, you shall have no other gods. That's it. No, just worship and trust me alone. And if you keep that one, you keep all the others. As Martin Luther famously said, if you break any other commandment, you've first and foremost broken the first. You've made another god that you wanted to serve and follow. Have no other gods. Second commandment, do not misuse or take God's name in vain. Do not misuse God. Use it the right way. Pray to God. Don't use it the wrong way. Third, remember the... Thanks for coming to worship, everyone. Welcome. Remember the Sabbath. Gather around God's word. Number four, honor your father and mother. I remember when I was maybe in second or third grade I went to a Lutheran school, thinking, when I get old enough, there will become a day when I don't have to follow this commandment anymore. And I realized, you still honor your parents in many ways when you're an adult. Fifth commandment, do not murder. Not only don't murder, Jesus says if you have hate in your heart for someone, it's as good as murder. Six, do not commit adultery. Rather, be faithful to your spouse and to your vows. Seven, do not steal. Eight, do not speak falsely against your neighbor. And 9 and 10 go together. Do not covet your neighbor's anything that's not yours. Do not over-desire for things that aren't yours. And then when Jesus gets asked about this, they say, there's 10 of them. What are the greatest? Sum it up. Jesus says, two. He says, one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus sums it up, two tablets, two commands. Love God, love others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is what God gives his people. After he saved them and said, here's what it looks like to be my people. It's love me with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. And then the Israelites say in response at Mount Sinai, they say, yes, we'll do it. Perfect. We got it. You saved us. We'll keep your law. All that you have said, we will do. Yes, yes. And do they keep it? No. Do they fulfill it? No. Do they obey it? No. Are they faithful on any level? Not really. In fact, while Moses is up receiving the Ten Commandments for the very first time, what are the Israelites below doing? They're making the golden calf. Well, how quickly do they forget what God has done for them? But what that means is God's law, God's perfect will, is good. It is good. It's God's will. And God's will for the world is good. God's will for our country is good. God's will for community and for your life, it's good. Problem is me. The problem is you and me. Do, like the Israelites, do we keep God's law? No. Go through the commandments. Have no other gods? Guilty. Don't misuse God's name. Guilty. Remember the Sabbath day? Guilty. Honor father and mother. I already confessed that one. Do not murder. Adultery. Go through all the list, and especially with Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Boy, guilty, guilty, guilty. The problem isn't with God's law. It is good and perfect. The problem is with me. And at the very end of Romans 6, the very last verse says, for the wages of sin is death. I have broken God's law. You have broken God's law. And like Adam and Eve, we deserve death. The wages of sin is death. Another way to say it is that the law kills. It's like looking in, talk about this in catechism, the law is like looking in a mirror and really close, one of those big mirrors that make your face really big, and you see all of those imperfections. The law kills. But that's not the end. There's more to the story. We got to go back to our main verse. You also have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. You see, the law does kill, but someone has kept the law for you. The law kills, but someone has kept it for you. Jesus has. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was absolutely perfect in every way that the people Israel were not. Jesus was Israel in one person being faithful for all of them. In Jesus' temptation in the desert, he was faithful where they weren't. Jesus was the Passover lamb slain for you and whose blood on the doorposts of our heart and lives free us from the angel of death who passes over us. Jesus was faithful to the cross for you and was raised, as 7:4 says, for you. Jesus lived perfectly for you, died sacrificially for you, rose victoriously for you. Jesus has done it all for you and gives all that to you by faith. And as we saw last week, in chapter 6, you have been buried with Jesus through baptism, and buried with him and raised with him. And though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. So yes, the law does kill, but the gospel makes us alive. The law kills, but the gospel makes alive. Another way to say it is this: the law will show us our sin, but the gospel shows us our Savior. The law is like looking in a mirror, that big mirror, and seeing all your imperfections. And as long as we look there, we're only going to see what's wrong with us. But when we look to the cross, we see the gospel. We see what Jesus has done for you because he loves you. And the law that shows our sin and the gospel that shows us our Savior, something begins to change in us because of the gospel working its way through our hearts. Something in us begins to change. And here's what it is. And here's what kind of the tough part of the whole section's getting at. Because of the gospel, what Jesus has done, God's law, God's will actually becomes a blessing, not just a burden. When you look in the mirror, it feels like a burden. God, I haven't been good enough. I've failed in all these ways. But when the gospel changes you, God's will actually becomes a blessing, and you want to do it. God changes your heart so that you want to do God's will. That's why you can look at a neighbor in need and say, well, I actually want to help them. Or you look at somebody working with people at risk, and you say, I want to support them, I want to help. Or somebody involved in missions, and you want to pray for them, you want to do good. You want to be a good neighbor, a good citizen, a good father, a good mother. You want to do those because the gospel is changing you to want to do God's will. But there's the backside that says, the guilt part that says, well, I haven't done it. That's next week, so. It gets into the wrestling between the two. It's what I want to do, I don't do, that's next week. But because of the gospel, God's will becomes a blessing, and we want to do that. Which means we want to, part of us wants to love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor, no matter who they are, where they are, or what they look like, or what language they speak, or what religion they might be, love your neighbor as yourself. So to wrap it up, let's read together the 7-4, the main verse again. You also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. Amen.